This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And 2-2 from Pagan. And that'll end it. Frustrating day for the Red Sox offensively. They manage only 5 hits. The golden chance was that 8th inning. So Tampa Bay takes it. Final score of 2-1.
All right, Boston, I don't know what to tell you about your baseball team. Every time I start to think they're sort of waking up a little bit, they go right back into a funk and they look worse than they did before. If you remember, on Friday, the Red Sox had rained out, but heading into that game, I told you I saw some things in the Thursday night game that gave me reason for optimism. Xander Bogaerts beat out a double play ball. Alex Cora gave Rafael Devers the green light on a 3-0 pitch, which suggested to me there was a level of confidence there. All of that, the Red Sox win the game. Okay, here you go. Maybe they're going to build some momentum. Tampa Bay's Rays come in. They win both games at Fenway Park over the weekend. The Red Sox really don't score the whole time. They went 0 for 11 with runners in scoring position over the weekend. They scored 3 runs, and they're right back where they were when they were 3-9 to start the year. 6 games under 500 still. Still. And Mother's Day is rapidly approaching. And the reason I mention that is because way back when, Mother's Day was sort of that cutoff. You know, middle of May was that cutoff of, do you have a team or don't you? And listen, it's been extended. A lot of people take it to Memorial Day. And it feels to me like we're going to make every excuse possible for the Red Sox to extend that window. But boy, they continue to suck at just about everything. Really. At just about everything. 617-779-0985. We got a bunch of things I want to get to over the course of the next hour. And if you want to talk baseball again, now is your chance. 617-779-0985. Number one on the list still is Chris Sale. Chris Sale is still number one on the list. And when I say that, I mean for your concerns. He has started 6 games this year. The Red Sox have lost them all. So again, that's easy math even for someone like me. That Sale, 0-6. When he doesn't pitch, the Red Sox are 11-11. It makes no sense what is going on with Sale. And the Red Sox keep feeding you this line that it's all about the command. It's all about the secondary stuff. It's not necessarily the velocity. And you know what? I'm wondering if they actually believe it anymore. So yesterday in the first inning, and I don't even remember the guy's first name. I think it's Daniel Robertson, who plays for the Rays.
He's hitting like a .180 or something.
Okay, he's the second batter of the game. He's done nothing all year. He comes up with a man on, and you say, okay, you know, this is Chris Sale against Daniel Robertson. Daniel Robertson. And here's how the whole thing went, and I want you to listen to Alex Cora's explanation of it right after the highlight.
Robertson, 169, no home runs. Lifts a high fly ball, that's deep to left field. Benintendi back, looking up, and it is gone, a home run. Robertson, for the first time this year, a 2-run homer. The home run ball has really plagued the left-hander Sale. It's the 7th one he's allowed.
Well, it's a fastball again. Not great velocity on it, and it stays inside. It was supposed to be inside. It stayed inside, but not enough to get it by him. And out of the ballpark goes Robertson. That is the first hit he has ever had against Sale, and it's a home run.
Obviously, velocity wasn't there early in the game. He struggled with command, but after that, he found it. He induced him to weak contact. He was able to get some swings and misses up in the zone. We didn't make a play in the second inning. You know, that's a Taylor made the play, and then, you know, we pay the prize.
Okay, so you heard Jerry Remy say they're not great velocity. And then Cora was talking about command still. So Cora mentioned some of that, And on some other analysis, I saw the home run that Sale gave up to Robertson. I heard people say the pitch was supposed to be inside. He didn't get it inside far enough. You know what people aren't focusing on? At least Remy didn't. I give Remy all the credit in the world. You know what they're not focusing on? It was 92. It was 90 effing 2 miles an hour. If that pitch is 96, does Daniel Robertson jerk it into the left field seats? Daniel Robertson, whom I've never heard of until this year. Daniel Robertson. So this is the guy now that's hitting a Chris Sale fastball into the left field seats at Fenway Park, and we're going to talk about the location of it, instead of the fact that it was 92. You know what 92 is in this day and age? Batting practice. BP. That's what it is. So I need to see some of the life come back on Chris Sale's fastball. When are we going to see it? 92 miles an hour. And do people really believe it doesn't make a difference? I've heard so many people say over and over again, the Red Sox believe that Sale can pitch at something less than maximum velocity. Based on what? Based on what?
False hope.
And Chris Sale's never been one of these guys who, like, dices up the plate. He throws a lot of strikes, but he's not living on the corners. He's never been that guy. He's not Pedro. So this idea that somehow he can just live there and slice up the edges of the plate and he's good enough to do that is wrong. You know what Chris Sale, you know why Chris Sale's been as dominant as he is?
Yes.
Because he throws 96 and 97 and he has you on your heels. Then you start cheating and he can drop a changeup on you or a slider in the strike zone. The slider's a great pitch. It falls out of the strike zone down and into righties. Okay, he can do all of that. But he's not living on the edges. He's never been that guy. So again, 0-6, how many more times do you need to see it before you start to believe? How many more times? It's still early, relatively, although April's just about gone. You got 2 games here left in April, and the Red Sox, by the way, have not won a series at home all year. They have not won a series at home all year. May starts on Wednesday, and they haven't won a home series. And for the people who told me the West Coast, the time zones, and the road trip, and all that were the problems, they've now been home for 2 different homestands, and they still haven't won a series at home. And they didn't change time zones the last time. So what excuses are you going to make for them? And you know what? When I listen to Alex Cora, I think Alex Cora is starting to get worried. Because his team, again, is not responding. Tampa came in for the weekend. Another series opener. Another series opener with Sale on the mound, and they lost. That's 5 of them now that Sale has lost. 5 series openers. 5. So are we going to keep making excuses? If Sale is even a 500 pitcher right now, the Red Sox have 3 more wins and they're 14-14. If he's a 500 pitcher, they're 14-14. Instead, they're beating their heads against the wall. And the manager? The manager's making excuses for him because I think deep down, he's starting to worry. That's what I think. Okay, we'll get to your calls. I got more on Cora coming up here in just a second. Let's go to Ray and Revere. Ray, what do you got?
Hey, Tony, I got a confession to make. I actually cut the cord 3 years ago, went away from baseball, added back last year, could not watch these games. They had a championship team last year, I couldn't watch it. This stuff is unwatchable at a 3.5-hour clip.
Okay, but Ray, that's a separate discussion for another night. We're here to talk about this year's team and what's going on right now.
Let me make the point about the pitching staff. I've accepted from this Red Sox organization that they can't develop their own pitchers. And I think we're going to have to see guys go up and down because that's what you get when you sign veteran pitchers. And until they can develop their own players, I think you're going to have this volatility from their pitching staff. It seems to me that Sale is fading. Okay?
So, Ray, look, Ray, I'm going to let you go because, again, let's just stick to the point about developing their own pitching. Sale might be fading again, which is why people like me did not want to sign him to a contract extension in spring training. I think Murray was in the same boat. We didn't like the move. I wanted to wait. Wait until the end of the year. See what's going on with Chris Sale before you commit $145 million to him. But the fact that they had to sign Sale is a result of what you said. They have not been able to develop their own pitchers. So given where they are, though, my question is this. What else could they do? What else could they do? They didn't have anywhere else to turn. If they're not signing Sale, they got to sign someone else. And I don't necessarily agree that this is what you get when you don't develop pitchers, because veteran pitchers go up and down. Not true. Pedro didn't go up and down. Pedro got hurt, but Pedro was good pretty much always. I think it's the opposite. I think the veteran pitchers pretty much are good all the time. Eduardo Rodriguez, he wasn't their draft pick, but they developed him further as a prospect and acquired him as a prospect. He's been up and down. He's been a guy trying to figure it out. The problem with having all these veteran guys is that you don't have any choice. You have to pay them. You back yourself into a corner when you don't develop. That's the issue. Chris is in the car. Chris, what do you got?
Hey, Matt. I was calling because you were talking about Sale's velocity being down 92. You know, yeah. It, objectively speaking, I mean, he was hitting 98. Against the Yankees, and so it is bizarre that he, for whatever reason, didn't have that velocity against the Rays. But I find it hard to really think that, you know, just because he's hitting 92. I mean, look at Clayton Kershaw, and Greg Maddux is never a flamethrower. So I feel, and when you look at the playoffs last year,
Chris, before you go on, Greg Maddux was one of the great surgeons in the history of the game. He could pitch at 90 and move the ball across just the slightest corner of the plate and have it end up in the right-handed batter's box. Okay, he could cut the ball and throw it to a spot like no one I've ever seen. My only point with Sale is he's not that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm thinking about especially the last out in the World Series. I mean, the guy was going out there and he was maxing out at like 92. But that slider, and obviously I think he threw 50% of the time against the Rays. And that seems to be the direction that he wants to go in. I don't know that he threw it as much against the Yankees, but he was hitting 98. So he seems to either want to go 98 on the fastball and a little less on the slider, or just go all sliders and then take a bunch off the fastball. And I don't know where that's coming from, but I guess my point is,
Chris,
you know, I feel like there are effective pitchers that really, you know, can throw 90, not necessarily top out
yeah.
at 95.
And be no, effective. No, there are absolutely pitchers that can do that. I'm just telling you, I don't think he's one of them. That's all. Chris Sale's whole approach on the mound is built off that velocity. The slider's a great pitch. I mean, it might be his best pitch. I don't dispute that. But if he doesn't throw 96 or 97, you know what you do as a batter? You approach it backwards. And you say, well, I'm not going to swing off speed. And then if I see the fastball, I can get there. But when he's throwing 96, 97, you know what you say? Oh, I got to gear up for that fastball, because if I'm not ready for it, it's going to go right by me. That's what you do. Okay? You change the approach. When a guy doesn't throw hard and his best stuff is the off-speed stuff, you approach him backwards. You say, I'm just going to wait for fastballs. And when it comes, I'm going to react to it because it's not hard enough to get by me. But when a guy's throwing 96 or 97, you don't have a choice. So I love Sale too, or what he gave the Red Sox last year. Okay, I love what he's given this franchise. I love his makeup. I love his mentality. But you mentioned the postseason last year when he came in relief. You know what his ERA was in the World Series last year? 5.40. And you're talking about one inning in Game 5 when they had a comfortable lead by that stage. He wasn't good last postseason. He wasn't good. So let's stop pretending like he was throwing 92. We haven't seen him do that yet. And Alex Cora, he's dodging questions about the team's play now. He's dodging questions. I'll explain exactly what that was and how that happened yesterday.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Maserata, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I want to play for you here a comment that Alex Cora made after the game yesterday regarding the overall play of the Red Sox. It was an exchange that I found interesting with Peter Abraham of the Globe. So again, the Red Sox go into this where they were 11-15, looked like maybe they were starting to wake up a little more confidence in their game. All of these little things that you would typically say are a good sign. Okay, are a good sign. Then they have the weekend series against the Rays where they don't hit in either one. They went 0-for-11 with runners in scoring position. They had a chance to rally and win that game over on Saturday. They weren't able to do so. So they didn't score. And then yesterday, Sale gives up another home run in the first inning. 7 home runs for Sale allowed this year, 5 of them on fastballs. Okay? Guy with one of the best fastballs in the game. 5 home runs on fastballs. April's not even over yet. He's given up 5 home runs on fastballs. They go 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position yesterday. They lose again. They play bad defense in the process. It led to this exchange with Peter Abraham of the Globe. I'll ask our producer, Jimmy Stewart, if he could play the Cora exchange with Pete Abe. You don't have it?
Which cut is this, Tony?
It's a Cora exchange with Peter Abraham. Should be probably Cora 2.
Alex, in general, do you feel like the team's kind of spinning its wheels a little bit?
It has to do with that pitching staff. They're good. I mean, they have a great pitching staff. And like I said, you know, it's tough to create energy when you're not scoring runs. You know, I honestly feel like we're not that far. You know, offensively, you see it. You know, you see flashes. It's just a matter of getting that big hit.
I'm not talking about this series necessarily, but just in general this season, does it feel like you just haven't been able to kind of get any sort of momentum, or they're kind of...
I mean, that's obvious, you know. Yeah. We haven't been consistent. You know, if we pitch, we don't hit. If we don't hit, I mean, you know the phrase, whatever. You know, one thing is going, the other one is not. Defensively, we show flashes, we don't. So we haven't been able to put everything together. So to answer your question, that's how it feels, yeah.
I mean, to me, Cora didn't want to answer this question. Like, Pete Abe asked him. Again, Jimmy, if you could just play the beginning again, if you would, please. At the very beginning, Pete Abe, to me, I think is asking a pretty clear question, like, why can't you get on a roll, okay? So just listen to it. Go ahead again, Jimmy.
Alex, in general, do you feel like the team's kind of spinning its wheels a little bit?
It has to do with that pitching staff. They're good. I mean, they're
Let's stop great- there, Jimmy. So Cora goes right to yesterday's game. He goes right to yesterday's game. When the question is, in general, do you feel like your team's spinning its wheels? And he starts talking about the Tampa pitching staff, and then Pete Abe says, no. I mean beyond this series. Oh, well, yeah, that's obvious. You know, I keep thinking we're getting close, but yeah. You know, we haven't done... See, Cora knows. So it's one of the few times that I've listened to Cora, and I said, he doesn't even want to go there. One of the things I liked about Cora last year... Cora was really blunt, pretty direct, because they were playing well, they were winning, and everything was good. So when they made a mistake, Cora would say, well, no, given where we want to go, that can't happen. That base running mistake, it can't happen. I've talked to Rafi about it. We got to do better. He was very direct, very honest, and it felt like he was holding everyone accountable. This felt to me like he didn't want to go there. Pete Abe says, in general, do you feel like you guys are spinning your wheels? Well, you know, I mean, those guys are pitching well. That's some of that is them, you know, when there's no offense. No, I'm not talking about today. I'm talking about the whole month. Oh, well, yeah, that's obvious. So I'm starting to hear a little pushback in Cora's tone, and I think it's something we need to keep an eye on. The manager's frustrated, rightfully so, although some of it's his mistake. This team wasn't ready to play to start the year, and they're not coming out of it. Again, another series opener. This one against a team that's in first place in the division at home. And they fail. And I say series opener on Saturday. Sailed and pitched the series opener. Obviously, I'm wrong about that part. Okay, Tim is in Boston. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering, what do you guys think? Like, so you're worried about Sale and his issue about him with his velocity, but do you think it's Cora controlling that velocity? Do you think it's him controlling that velocity? Do you think it's not him, like, knowing what to do with it?
Tim, honestly, at this stage, I'm lost. I don't know. I wish I had an answer for you, and I don't know. It was there in the New York game. He was able to amp it up and get it there. Yesterday, it didn't really feel like it was there. So do I think they're easing him into the season? Do I think that they're trying to massage him along and get him into a point where he's in a rhythm and he can be, quote-unquote, the real Chris Sale? Yes, I do believe there's some of that going on. I do. At the same time, I don't know. I mean, I just wonder, maybe the ceiling's not as high as it used to be. Murray, what do you think?
Yeah, he could be injured, or this is the new normal. And the worst of those two is the latter. If this is the new normal, then this is what it is.
See, I don't
think
there's
no fixing that.
See, I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he'd be out there if he were hurt.
Right.
I don't think they would do it. I mean, he's ineffective. So what's the point of sending him out there? You're 0-6 when he pitches. You're better off sending someone else out there at this stage if he's hurt.
Right.
If he's not, well, then maybe it, what if it is the new normal? What if his ceiling now is 96 and he's got to pitch at 92? What if that's what it is?
Well, they get real problems because, like you said, he's not the type of guy that paints corners. He was known for his gas and that, you know, slider when it's effective. And if he doesn't have the velocity, I don't think he's going to be able to do it. What you're going to get is what you've seen, and that is not an ace. And they just poured all this money into him starting as of next year. This is why, again, it's easy to revisit it now, but why people like you and I were saying before the season, yeah, give him an extension, but let's wait a little bit here, right? Based on what we saw last year, couple of breakdowns here in the last couple of seasons. There was no problem with that. You're the Red Sox. What was it going to do? Worst case scenario, it's going to cost you more money. Again, you're the Red Sox. You can afford it. What was the harm in waiting? And now they're kind of paying the price.
Yeah, I mean, really, it's unbelievable what's going on with this team here in this month. John's in a car. Go ahead, John.
Hey, what's up, Maz? What's up, Murray?
Hi.
So here's the thing. I know that Felger and Maz runs a half hour extra sometimes, and I figured out why the baseball reporters doesn't. Because you'd end up with your own belt around your neck by the end of the show, okay? How do you drive to work after a weekend like this and not break down knowing you have to talk about it for 1 hour with people that are actually going to call in and say that, you know, I understand Chris Sale's underperforming. I get that. But I think Cora is a bigger part of the problem because he's still running off of last year's anything I touch turns to gold crap. And it's not gonna pull him out of the rut there, and he's got to change the whole way he's approaching.
John, I'm so with you. I mean, they're a hard team to really like right now. They are a hard team to like, and they're
tough.
Oh gosh, it's absolutely brutal. And thank you for the call. I mean, absolutely brutal. And yes, you're right. Core is a big part of it. It's so general. It's so simple, but it couldn't be more true. They weren't ready to play. They weren't ready to play. And number one on the list was the way they handled their ace, which we expected. We expected they would be even more delicate with Sale. Although I didn't think it would go to this point. I didn't. I thought the new approach with Sale was going to be, you know what? We'll ramp him up slowly, but then we'll give him a break in the middle of the year and we'll be all right. Instead, they neglected to realize they ramped him up slowly last year and it didn't work. So their answer was, we're going to turn it back even more. We're basically going to give them April to have spring training, and it is shown. And they're 6 games under, and they're 0-6 when Sale pitches. So you tell me why the Red Sox are where they are. The number one reason is that they weren't ready to play, first and foremost, with their ace. How do you go 0-6 with that guy on the mound? How does that happen? Now, in his defense, Sale hasn't had much help. He hasn't had much help. We'll explain that after Murray gives you headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two down, two aboard, and a 1-1. Fly to center field. That's deep. Racing back, Jackie Bradley. To the triangle, leaping up. He can't get it. It bounces away from him. And the score, Heredia. Adames right behind him. Diaz diving into third base. And it is 4-0 Tampa Bay.
That looked like a ball. You know, we've seen Jackie make these plays over and over again, and the way he was going back after it, it looked like he was going to make a play on this. It's a slider, as you can see, hit pretty well the center, very well the center field. Jackie leaps, can't get it. It goes up against the garage door, runs a scoring, and very quickly, Tampa out to a 4-0 lead in this game.
Looked like he may have jumped a little early.
Yeah, usually, you know, you get so used to seeing him making those plays, you're stunned when he doesn't.
I agree. Bad defense on top of it. More on that in a second. Time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's Hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Xander Bogaerts lost a seven-game hitting streak yesterday. He had hit in seven straight, or actually six straight, going into yesterday. Yesterday would have been seven. He went 0-4 with a couple of strikeouts. The Oakland A's now in town, and Bogaerts had a good series against him earlier in the year. He went 4-9 with an RBI, a couple extra base hits against the A's. So if he can get back on the beam, that's a guy to keep an eye on going into this series with Oakland, but he is your Rodenheiser Heat Zone Player of the Week. With regard to the defense, garbage, including Willie Mays Jr. in center field, who missed a ball that would have gotten Chris Sale out of that second inning yesterday. Instead, two more runs scored. This came after Rafael Devers booted a ground ball that probably would have started an inning-ending double play. So the point is that the Red Sox gave the Rays basically five outs in the inning. Tampa used them, and a 2-0 game became a 4-0 game. And I don't need to tell you that when you're going up against a pitcher like Tyler Glasnow, who has pitched very well here in the early part of the year for the Rays, every run matters. So 4-0 feels a hell of a lot worse than 2-0, especially when you got two runs later in the game. And even then, the Red Sox couldn't batten down the hatches. We'll get to Michael Chavis here as well, because I think we saw the negative side of Chavis yesterday. Back to your calls. Brandon's in Lowell. What do you got, Brandon?
Hey, Murray. Hey, Maz. Truly, I think you guys are hitting the nail on the head with this whole Chris Sale stuff. What is also a concern to me is the Sox offense, all right? It's one thing if your pitching isn't squared away, you know, but you're hitting, all right? Alex Cora has some big problems on his hands right now. And like what you just mentioned with the defense and now the pitching and now the hitting, he needs to do something. And at this point, I don't even know what to do. I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thank you.
Okay, so Brandon, this is one of the issues with the team, is that when you have a team of star, or rather a star-laden team with a lot of big contracts and no farm system, what are your options? I mean, you don't have anywhere to turn.
They don't have many. Like, one of the things that's starting to bug me a little bit with Chavis playing first base tonight, and his bat's been okay since they brought him up, but, like, I don't know. Don't you want the kid to get comfortable? You're putting him in every single different position seemingly every single game. Like, if, say, Pedroia was healthy, and you wouldn't have to worry about second base as much, so you would have Pedroia healthy there. You could play Chavis at third base, and then maybe you could trade Devers, considering how he's looked, and the bat's really not there either, and he's been a butcher in the field. So maybe you could replenish the farm system a little bit there or demote him. That's just one thing you could maybe do. But again, that has to do with the health of certain guys like Pedroia, and that's probably never even going to happen, even though he's going on this rehab assignment later this week.
So, Murray, just quickly, who's playing second tonight if Chavis is at
Lynn.
First? Oh, Zue Lynn's in there.
Yeah.
And it's a right-hander for the A's, I think. So is Moreland the DH?
The DH, no. Martinez is back.
Oh, he is back.
Yeah.
Okay, that's an interesting decision that they would put Chavis at first base against a right-hander. And Sid Moreland. I mean, clearly they want Chavis' bat in the lineup for the home runs because they're not generating a lot of offense right now. My guess is that is what Alex Cora probably said to the media before the game. Eduardo's in Quincy. Eduardo, what do you got?
Well, let's see. The Red Sox won the World Series last year. I didn't expect him to be good this year because, you know, in baseball, it's not like basketball or football. Well, actually, not football, but like basketball. You know, it's not the same. You know, I didn't think it would be that good. So, and I'm surprised they're doing terrible, actually.
So, Eduardo, look, everything that could go wrong for this team in the early part of the year has gone wrong. The starting pitching was absolute dog food out of the gate. I mean, it couldn't get any worse given the kind of pitchers they have in this team. And when I say the kind of pitchers, I'm talking about veteran guys with big contracts. They re-signed Sale. So for the moment, let's just call Sale a $25 million pitcher. Okay, let's just say that. But the reality is, starting next year, he'll earn 29. He'll be on their books for 25 and change. He's on there. He pitched like garbage. Porcello's at $20 million. He's pitched like garbage. Price has been good. Price is at 31. He's held up his end of the deal. Eduardo Rodriguez to start the year was horrendous. He sucked at the beginning of the season. So you go right up and down the list. None of these guys performed in the early part of the year. And Nathan Eovaldi, add him to the list too. He didn't pitch well either, and now he's hurt. So their starting pitching sucked. Their offense has been bad. They ran the bases poorly to start the year. Their defense has been garbage from the beginning. And really, the big thing about their defense is the outfield defense. The outfield defense is costing them runs. It cost them runs in Oakland. It cost them runs again yesterday. And Jackie Bradley's been a part of that. So when Bradley's hitting a .150, he better be making the plays and being the kind of outfielder that everyone raves about and that you all rave about. I've always thought Jackie Bradley's defense in center field was overrated. Now he's not even giving you that. So really, what are you getting out of center field right now? Zero. And Mookie Betts? Mookie Betts has been better of late, obviously. But Mookie Betts hasn't played well this year either. Don't kid yourself. Ben's in Attleboro. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. Two questions. One, given that Cora's experience is all with winning teams, do you think he's the kind of manager that's going to get them out of a rut like this?
It's a good question.
And two, if this is the new norm for Sale, is that a fireable offense for Dombrowski, that new contract?
Okay, so is it a fireable offense for Dombrowski? I'll tell you what, that's an interesting question. I had not considered that part of it. I doubt it. I want to say Dombrowski's up for an extension. Is his contract up?
I believe this is his last year.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's a good question. My guess is they're working on it behind the scenes, so they're going to keep Dombrowski. But the problems in the farm system are real. Those are real. And so if there was something wrong with Sale and they signed him and missed something, yes, that'll be on Dombrowski. Yeah. You know what? I like that. I think that one is on Dombrowski.
It's one more year on Dombrowski.
After this year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So maybe the Red Sox are going to wait and see where they are. Because a bad year would really hurt Dombrowski's case. As for Chavis at first base, and I'm glad Murray brought this up, because when I heard this, I thought, good God, it's reached this stage? That should tell you a bunch of things, really, about Michael Chavis. And it should tell you a bunch of things about where the Red Sox are, too. We'll explain those, and we'll give you the Big Y matchup of the game when we come back.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Big Y matchup of the game presented by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Guy pitching for the A's tonight is Frankie Montas. I don't know much about this guy.
Me either.
Red Sox don't have many at-bats against him. They only have 8. Actually, I think they have a little more than that. Pedroia, though, has 2 of them. He's 2 for 2, so he doesn't count. More on Pedroia in a second. But on the other side, Eduardo Rodriguez, Stephen Piscotty. Remember this? He's the guy that hit the ball into right center field that Bradley and Betts miscommunicated on out in Oakland. Piscotty also had a home run in that game, if I remember right, against Eduardo Rodriguez, 4-for-5 with 2 homers and a double. Okay, so he's facing Rodriguez tonight. He's a guy you got to watch because it feels to me like historically he hits left-handed pitching and he annihilates Eduardo Rodriguez. So that's a guy to watch. As far as before we get to Pedroia, Chris Sale's start, 0-6 in April. I mean, 0-6 in March slash April, because obviously they started in March. He's 0-5. The team's 0-6. Murray, you uncovered what stat?
Yeah, this one's brutal. Chris Sale is the first Red Sox pitcher since Mike Gardner in 1992 to have a month where he went 0-5 or worse with an earned run average over 6. The 1992 Red Sox, who, if you're old enough to remember, went 73-89 and finished 23 games behind the Blue Jays.
Managed by Butch Hobson.
Those were bad times.
Mike Gardner, of course, a redhead.
Yeah, Gardner was a bad pitcher. Bad pitcher. And again, the 92 Red Sox, those were the dark ages of Red Sox baseball in the modern era. 92, 93, 94, ooh, did they suck those years. And then they had the work stoppage, and in 95, they got better again. And then Pedro came in 98, and blah, 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 blah. Everything was changed after that. But 92 to 94, ooh, did they blow.
Those were bad times.
They were bad. Before I get to Pedroia, Chavis in second base, quickly, Dan in Rhode Island, go fast.
Hey, another caller had it earlier, but Cora is on the other radio station right now, still talking about last year. He's got to be like Bill Belichick, and when somebody says, hey, what can you pull from last year? What do you need to change from last year to make this team win again? I'm on to whoever the next team is. I'm trying to make this team better today and just focus on what's in front of them right now.
Yeah, Dan, listen, the sooner they do that, the better, because they're going nowhere fast this year if they just play the way they have. Which brings me to second base. Okay, and it was late in the game, and I understand that there's a project going on here. But late in the game, the Red Sox had closed the lead to 4-2. They had a chance to get out of the inning in the ninth with a double play. Heath Embry was on the mound, and this happened.
Here's the 2-1. Ground ball. He got that ground ball. Bogaerts feeding Chavis one on to first, and he threw that one away. And here comes the run.
Yeah, we talk, you know, a lot about footwork around the bag, and not real good that time for Chavis as he just lets that one fly. Ball's kind of weird to Bogaerts as he, you know, gives the underhand flip. The runner was right on him, but, you know, he just didn't get his feet in a good position to make a throw. He throws across his body, and as soon as he let that thing go, you could tell it was going to sail up over the head of Moreland.
Big run there on the error. 5-2, Tampa Bay.
And the Red Sox never recovered. And so, look, Chavis is in a tough spot. The Red Sox are asking him to play a position here that he hadn't played up until this final week in the minor leagues, basically. And then they put him in yesterday. You should have seen this thing. If you haven't, I'm mean when it comes to this. If you haven't seen this error by Chavis, Google it. Look it up. I'm telling you, it was like the ball when he caught it from Bogaerts. It was like it was ticking. And it was going to explode. He was afraid of that thing. And he threw it almost falling towards the outfield. So it was, you know, Remy talked about his feet and his feet were bad. But Chavis, when he turns double plays to me, catches the ball and steps back or out towards left field. The first time I saw him, he stepped back towards right, which is fine because he's a third baseman by trade. This one, he stepped more towards left field. And boy, did he launch it over Moreland's head. Wow. Like it was a grenade. Holy crap. So you know where he is tonight? First base, which tells you a couple of things. The Red Sox are going against the A's. First of all, J.D. Martinez is back in the lineup, Mario, you said, right?
Correct.
So yes. He's DHing tonight?
Yep.
Okay, so this is a good development because we all know what the lineup looks like without J.D. Martinez in it. Just keep that in mind again when we have the MVP discussion from last year as to really who is more valuable, Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez. Because when J.D. Martinez comes out of there, the Red Sox look like a bunch of Punch and Judy hitters again. Okay, so I to me, it's all about J.D. Martinez. Nonetheless, he's back in. Chavis has moved to first. So the guy pitching for Oakland tonight's a right-hander. So it's not Moreland, it's Chavis. So Cora wants Chavis in the lineup because Chavis is hitting the ball out of the ballpark, and there's some offense there. So he's going to put Chavis at first now. So Chavis is now going from third to second to first. So I'm presuming that ultimately he may end up behind the plate, but let's see what based on the current pattern. But nonetheless, let's see how that shakes out. He's playing first tonight. And you know why he's playing first? Because Steve Pierce has been garbage. He's hitting 100. And Cora doesn't want Chavis at second base because they're not scoring, and they're going to need to turn every double play they can. So he's got Zhu Weilin playing second base. And just quickly, because this is all related to Dustin Pedroia, there was a comment Pedroia made over the weekend to Peter Abraham of the Globe. He's beginning a rehab assignment now, Pedroia is, and he told Pete Abe, I have to be able to play every day, meaning when he comes back. The restriction they put on me before I was playing was hard. Before when I was playing was hard. It was hard for me. It was hard for our team. So Pedroia is acknowledging he can't be on the roster as a guy who can only play every other day because they can't DH him. They need the offense. He can't play second base every day, so he's another utility man. So until he gets to the point where he can play second base every day, and I'm not sure that he can, and I think he knows he might not be able to, he's not playing again in the big leagues. Okay? I would have liked to do more on that tonight, but I think we're all at the same place with Pedroia. Pedroia's not coming back till he can play every day, and that may never happen again. Adam Jones is coming up here in just a matter of seconds. You still upset about the way it went down with the
yes,
big board on
absolutely.
Friday night?
I'm very upset, yes. The most encouraging thing I heard all day is that Felger wants to retire it, which means I think he's a little shook. I think he's a little shook over the big board. I was hoping you guys would go along with his plan,
no,
but no.
Nope.
No, I was disappointed.
No, we can get another year of money out of that.
I want it retired. I was rooting against it very hard.
Got value right now.
In case you didn't hear, I know you replayed some of it. In case you didn't hear, I was rooting against it quite hard on Friday night. By the way, one quick Red Sox thought while we're here. I think the center fielder who will ultimately win the gold glove is actually at Fenway Park tonight. Unfortunately, it's not the Red Sox center fielder. Keep an eye on Ramon Laureano out there in center. Maybe you missed him on the West Coast when the Red Sox lost a whole bunch out in Oakland earlier this year, but this is what a center fielder looks like. That's what I would say.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, that guy actually catches the ball when it's hit out to the triangle. It's an interesting thing. This is now two balls they've seen Jackie Bradley drop, at least. Murray's got your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.